Please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to begin reading in verse 31. Matthew chapter 21, verses 31 through 46. As always, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Holy Scriptures. Verse 31, Jesus saith unto them, the Pharisees. This is another one of the contests between Christ and the Pharisees. The first three messages in my Israel packages were Christ and the Pharisees, part one, part two, part three. If you do not understand the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees as recorded in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you cannot understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is another one of those contests. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Hello. Anybody paying attention?
Yeah.
To the Pharisees, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John, that would be the Baptist, came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. Verse 35, and the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. Verse 39, and they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? He's asking the Pharisees. Verse 41, they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? Jesus is the stone. The builders are the Jewish leaders. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Verse 44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it, the stone, shall fall, that stone again is Christ, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. Duh! Brilliant men they were. But when they sought to lay hands on him, that means beat him to death, kill him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Verses 43 and 44 are what I'm going to focus on today. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, Pharisees, chief priests, rulers of Israel, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. First of all, notice what Jesus said, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Jesus here is referencing Psalm 118 and verse 22, where the psalmist said, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is amplified in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation or cornerstone can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And again in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the stone, the cornerstone, the foundation is what the builders, the leaders of Israel, the Pharisees rejected. Then Jesus said, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Here Jesus was expounding Isaiah chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. That would be Israel and Judah. For a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble on the stone, the rock, Christ, the foundation, the cornerstone. Then Jesus said, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. In other words, the people that attack Christ, the enemies of Christ, the people that seek to do harm to Christ and to his word and to his work will themselves be broken. Jesus is the unbroken, impenetrable, all-powerful rock that cannot be assaulted by any enemy. And so the ones that come against him, they themselves will be broken. But then he goes on to say, on whomsoever it shall fall, the stone, it will grind him to powder. When you attack the stone, Christ, you'll be broken. But when the stone, Christ, decides to fall on you, you will be ground to powder. Nothing will be left of you. This happened to the Judahites, their temple, and their capital city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. It was all ground to powder. Then Jesus said, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you," from Israel, from Albert Barnes, referencing this statement. Jesus applies the parable to them, the Pharisees, and the Judahite nation. Listen very carefully to Albert Barnes. You won't hear this in 98% of the evangelical pulpits of America today. The Israelites had been the children of the kingdom, or under the reign of God, having his law and acknowledging him as king. They had been his chosen and special people. But he says that now this privilege would be taken away, that they would cease to be the special people of God. That's why you need to watch my message, God's Chosen People, which is message number 3 of my series on the book of Revelation in Prophecy Package Set 1. The chosen people of God. Who are they? Who are they not? I go into great depth to prove that the chosen people of God are not the Israelites, much less the Israelis of today. Albert Barnes. Now this privilege would be taken away, that they should cease to be the special people of God. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom is taken from you. Evangelicals have allowed themselves to be blinded by the Zionist state of Israel. They willingly refuse to see the pervasive evil that Israel exerts over America and around the world. In fact, most of our evangelical pastors and churches are complicit in that evil. Listen to 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Little children, it is the last time. And I go into this in my message from prophecy. I talk about the Antichrist and Antichrists and the man of sin and all of that in the Israel Package Set 1. As ye have heard that Antichrist should come, even now are there many Antichrists, not one Antichrist, many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Are you listening? 2 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come unto you any that, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If you haven't gotten the light clicking on in your mind already just from reading these scriptures, let me make it plain. Any doctrine, any religion, any faith system that denies Jesus is God in flesh is Antichrist. Does Benjamin Netanyahu and Zionist Israel believe that Jesus is God in flesh? No, they do not. That makes them Antichrist. The Bible says that we are not to have them enter into our house. And yet, through television and podcasts and radio and computers, many so-called Christians today are inviting Zionists into their home every day. And they are bidding them Godspeed. They are blessing them. They are praying for them. They are acknowledging them. And these are antichrists. Christian Zionists quote Genesis 12:3 and apply it to the modern state of Israel. And I will bless them that bless thee, God told Abraham, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And from that one verse, they hang their theological hat and proclaim Zionist Israel, created by the Rothschild Zionists in 1948, to be the resurrected prophetic Israel of the Old Testament. But they completely ignore the New Covenant, especially the books of Galatians and Romans. In my Israel package, set one, I have a message entitled, listen to the title carefully, I will curse them that bless thee. I will curse them that bless thee is the title of the message. Instead of blessing America for blessing Antichrist Zionist Israel, God is cursing America for blessing Antichrist Zionist America. Here's why. Evangelicals completely ignore Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, which interprets Genesis chapter 12 in verse 3. See, that's another problem evangelicals have. They interpret the New Testament by the Old Testament. They've got 180 degrees out of sync. No, instead of interpreting the New Testament by the Old Testament, you've got to interpret the Old Testament by the New Testament. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, that verse is interpreted by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Listen to what Paul said in that passage. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Galatians 3:16 is extremely clear. The promised seed God gave to Abraham in Genesis 12:3 was not fulfilled in seeds many, the nation of modern Israel. It was fulfilled in one seed, singular, and that one seed is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fulfillment of Genesis 12:3. But evangelicals don't have a clue about that. And when you read the verse to them, they totally reject it. How can you reject such a plain, truthful teaching of the new covenant? Listen to Romans 2:28 and 29. Now, when you watch God's chosen people, you're going to hear many more verses than what I'm going to speak today, because I go into so much more depth in that message, but I'll just give you a couple. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, biologically. He is not a Jew, which is one biologically. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, spiritually. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, Old Testament law, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Did you hear that? A Jew is one who is a Jew spiritually by faith in Christ, not biologically through genetics. That's what God's Word says. Yes. Tell that to the average evangelical and see what kind of a reaction you get. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Not as though the Word of God hath taken not effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. They're not all Israel which are of Israel, though they were born as Israel, they are not Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, biologically, are they all children of God. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, Romans chapter 9, verse 8. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The children of the promise are those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the spiritual seed of Abraham. Amen. Has nothing to do with anything or anybody over in what now we call Palestine or Zionist Israel. Nothing whatsoever. to make any application of anything that's going on in a biological, physical sense is completely contrary to the doctrine of the new covenant. What you're doing is you're saying, you're admitting your own ignorance of the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The children of promise, the children of Abraham, are so by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, minus and plus, absolutely nothing. Now, everywhere in America, every religious television show, every radio broadcast, just about, we're hearing support Israel, support Israel, support Israel, support Israel, pray for Israel, pray for Israel. Let's be very clear. Israel today is not fighting a war. It's committing genocide. Amen. Almost the entire world understands that. The only people that don't are the idiots in Washington, D.C., and the idiots in our pulpits and evangelical churches today. They're the only ones who don't understand that. The whole world sees that this is a genocide in front of their very eyes taking place. For those who glorify Israel, please understand that Benjamin Netanyahu and his entire cabinet are rabid Talmudics. They even, a few years ago, passed a law making Talmudism the law of the land in Israel. These are Talmudists. Now, if you have ever done any research into the Talmud, you understand how evil Talmudism really is. Between the writings of the Talmud and the writings of the Quran, there is no comparison. The writings of the Talmud are much more antichrist than the writings of the Quran. I want to give you just a few samples of what the Talmud says about Jesus Christ. And these are all quotes from the Talmud. Jesus was born out of wedlock to his mother Miriam and her lover Pantera. Stop. That should be enough. That one statement should be enough for every Jesus lover, every Bible lover, every New Testament Christian to identify these Christ haters for who they are. She is said to have been the descendant of princes and rulers and to have played the harlot with a carpenter. Jesus spent time in Egypt, from where he learned magic. He was a magician who deceived and led Israel astray. He mocked at the words of the wise, that would be the Pharisees, was tainted with heresy, and was thus excommunicated. He wasn't excommunicated. The Pharisees were excommunicated. He called himself God, also the Son of Man, and said he would go up to heaven. He had five disciples. He was tried as a deceiver and as a teacher of apostasy. He was executed on the eve of Passover, which was also the eve of the Sabbath, by being stoned. For 40 days, a herald proclaimed that he was to be stoned and invited evidence in his, Christ's, favor. But none was given. He, Jesus, under the name of Balaam, was put to death by Pinchas the robber when he was 33 years old. He was punished in Gehenna, that's hell. He was punished in hell by the means of boiling excrement. He was punished in Gehenna by the means of boiling excrement. Under the name of Balaam, he is one of those excluded from the world to come. That's just a small sample of what the Talmud says about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Benjamin Netanyahu made Talmudism the official law of Israel. And he himself is a devout Talmudist. And evangelical preachers are getting up on Sunday on their TV shows, in their radio programs, and asking people to pray for Benjamin Netanyahu and for his success and his protection. And God will bless America if we bless Benjamin Netanyahu. Do these evangelicals even understand the blasphemy that they are supporting? They seem to be clueless and blind to what they are doing. The genocide that Benjamin Netanyahu is unleashing on Gaza right now is in accordance with his beliefs as a radical Talmudic. He calls the Palestinian people human animals. That's a quote. Human animals. He says that because that's what he truly believes they are. They are not human. They don't have eternal souls. They are animals to be slaughtered at will. And Netanyahu believes that about you and me also. Any goyim is a human animal. Make no mistake about it, if he could unleash the same genocide against Christian America as he's doing in Palestinian / Christian / Muslim Gaza, he would do it. Zionist Israel is a counterfeit the city of Jerusalem, which is a Roman built city, Elia Capitolina, with Ottoman built walls, is a counterfeit. There is absolutely nothing Jewish about the modern city of Jerusalem. Amen. It's a Roman / Ottoman city and surrounding walls and structure. It has nothing to do with Old Testament Israel, and yet it is worshipped by evangelicals. They spend millions and millions of dollars a year going there, talking about how they are looking at the fulfillment of Old Testament scripture and all of it. And it's none of it is true. It's all a counterfeit. It's all a lie, a deception. Nothing about it is real. Christian Zionism, Schofield Futurism, premillennial dispensationalism, Darbyism, call it whatever you want, is a counterfeit in time teaching. The American church has been seduced by evil spirits into an antichrist religion. How long will God allow this to continue? What will God have to do to reconnect the new covenant to evangelical churches? What will God have to do? Well, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." God ground to powder the genuine Judahite nation in 70 AD. I have a message in the Israel package is called The Destruction of Jerusalem, where I go into great detail to describe what happened in that destruction. It wasn't just destruction, it was total and absolute annihilation. The historical record says that after Jerusalem was annihilated, when travelers would come to the area passing by, and they would walk where Jerusalem had once stood, they would not even be aware that there had been a great city there. There was no sign of the city in existence. It was annihilated, just as Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You'll grind him to powder." And that's all was left of Jerusalem, was powder and dust. We know that God will grind to powder all false religions and all evil powers at the end of the world. We understand that. But what about in between these two divine annihilations? In the providence of God, I'm asking the question, in the providence of God, will he grind to powder the counterfeit Judahite nation in Palestine, as he did the genuine Judahite nation in 70 AD. Is that even a possibility? I ask the question, has God put it in the heart of Netanyahu as he put it in the heart of the Egyptian Pharaoh, to stubbornly, in the hatred of his own heart, sow the seeds of his own annihilation. That's what happened to Pharaoh. God put it in Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh destroyed himself and his own nation through his hatred and rebellion against God. Has God put in the heart of Netanyahu what he put in the heart of the Egyptian Pharaoh? To sow the seeds of his own annihilation. I'm going to quote a cyber journalist by the name of Larry Johnson. I don't know him personally. I want to read what he said that I think is so very relevant to what I'm saying. And I want you to listen carefully. It's not a short quote. But listen very carefully to what he has to say. I am continuing to hammer on the theme that Israel's indiscriminate attacks in Gaza, while being praised or tolerated in the West, is having the opposite effect in the rest of the world. The bombing and strafing of Palestinian civilians at hospitals and schools is fueling a deepening outrage outside of the West and turning many nations that had reasonably strong relations with Israel against it. I noted in a previous post that Chile, Colombia, Bolivia have recalled their ambassadors, which is a de facto break in relations. We can now add to that list Bahrain and Honduras. There is a growing consensus in the Middle East, Africa, South America, and Asia that Israel is committing war crimes. Israel, if it hopes to survive, cannot do so by alienating nations that it has counted as friends. Turkey is the most alarming. It maintained close ties with Israel even during the 2006 invasion of southern Lebanon. Not now. That relationship is broken. It remains to be seen if Turkey's Erdogan will match his fiery anti-Israel rhetoric with concrete action, such as cutting off oil. One of the major forces driving the surge in anti-Israel sentiment are the images and videos below. I am posting this material in order to show the people in America and Western Europe what the rest of the world is seeing. If you're watching American television, you're not likely to see any of this. We're not talking about accidental bombings. That happens in war. These are deliberate, planned attacks. And then he goes on to show many of the videos and photographs of the carnage of Gaza. It's so hideous, it's almost impossible to explain, even to look at. Continuing the quote, Gaza has become a charnel house and the United States is feeling the diplomatic heat. Secretary of State Tony Blinken met today with Bibi Netanyahu, this is on Friday, in Israel and talked about the need for, quote, a humanitarian pause, close quote. That is diplo-speak for ceasefire. A half hour later, Bibi issued a statement saying, absolutely no. Blinken is headed to Jordan to see if he can rally the king to help calm things down. Looks like a fool's errand because Jordan recalled its ambassador from Israel. I suspect King Abdullah will have a simple message for Blinken. Tell Israel to stop the killing. Fear of Hezbollah entering the war forced Israel to abandon settlements and military outposts along the border with Lebanon, even though Nasrallah did not issue a call for war. Hezbollah is conducting patrols and ambushes along the border with Israel, and Israel is taking casualties, Hezbollah too. I agree with Scott Ritter's assessment that Hezbollah feels no urgency to intervene because Hamas, despite taking casualties, remains confident it can inflict heavy losses on the Israelis. And it can, and it will. I said that. Videos have surfaced on Telegram, that's a London news outlet, showing Hamas fighters blowing up at least two Israeli tanks. Bibi Netanyahu faces two threats to his ability to continue to carry out his war plan. First, the expanding international outcry against Israel's indiscriminate bombings in Gaza, which is killing and wounding thousands of civilians, especially women and children. Second, Bibi's political base in Israel is shaky. Recent revelations from the Israeli press that Israeli defense forces killed a number of Israelis held hostage by Hamas is going to add pressure for him to step down and be held accountable. You're not hearing that in the Western press, are you? Israel killed their own hostages. Not that by accident. They even passed a law just recently that the IDF, the Israeli military, can kill their own Israeli citizens. All they need is a commanding officer to give the order, and they can kill their own Israeli people. These, of course, would be Israelis who protest the slaughter in Palestine. Last paragraph. We remain on knife's edge, and events in Israel and Gaza could quickly spin out of control and produce a regional, if not global, war. Pray for peace. End of quote. What Netanyahu is doing is alienating Israel everywhere in the world, except in the U.S., Great Britain, and other Western European states. Netanyahu's Talmudic hatred has taken over his mind. Doubtless, he is demon-possessed. The ramifications of his murderous genocide could spill over into global war. This is far more serious than the war in Ukraine ever was. Biden's idiotic open borders here in the States have allowed tens of thousands of battle-age men into the United States. Many of these men have strong allegiances to the Arab Muslim states. And there's tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of them already in our country, courtesy of President Joe Biden. These men could unleash destruction upon the U.S. in similar fashion as was portrayed in the short-lived TV series Jericho. If you've not seen that, you don't know what I'm saying. Watch it and you'll know what I'm talking about. That kind of destruction could happen in this country as these angry, battle-aged men with strong allegiances to the Palestinians and to other Arab states would seek vengeance against the United States for its role in supporting Israel in its genocide. China could take advantage of America's divided military operations and attack Taiwan. The Arab states could unify in a war against Israel. Remember, Pakistan is a major nuclear power, and Turkey is a major military power. There is no way Israel could survive all-out war from the Arab states should they decide to unleash it. In anything remotely resembling the potential scenarios just mentioned, evangelical churches would be forced to acknowledge that everything it is believed and taught relative to Israel and the end times was totally and categorically false, because there will be no rapture to spare them. And perhaps in the sovereignty of God, it would bring them back to the truth of the new covenant. I am not a prophet. The only prophecies I can give you are the ones contained in the Holy Scriptures. And there is no preacher you will ever hear who is more in love with peace than the one you are hearing right now. And my messages over the years give evidence of that fact. As Mr. Johnson implored, I pray for peace. I bring you this address because you are hearing end times falsehood and deceit from the vast majority of evangelical preachers right now. And their idolatry with Zionist Israel is leading America into the valley of derision and the pit of destruction. And I remind you what Paul said in Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is time for Christians who say they love God to get their eyes off of sports and video games and carnal pursuits and pleasures and lift their eyes and hearts to heaven, confess their many sins to Him, and become earnest evangelists for the glorious new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, beloved, that is the only thing that will save America now. Let's stand for prayer.